means of faith and salvation. We shall be studying various topics connected with the plan of salvation and our relationship to them, especially through the vehicles of the two epistles, Galatians and James. Neither epistle is very long. They are written by two very different persons, and they look at life from two different angles. Paul was much more interested in theory, in the ins and outs of truth and revelation and belief, while of course he was also practical. But James is much more practical. He's interested in doing, in speaking, in relating, in carrying out the theory of the truth, although he, of course, is also interested in the philosophy of the plan of salvation. Both the epistles use Abraham as the example of the one who is the ideal citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Galatians looks at him as the man of faith, and James looks at him as the man of works. Both epistles are inspired. Both are true. There is no tension between one or the other, unless they are manufactured by the expositor's own mind. We shall therefore look, as we can, at these themes of salvation from the two perspectives. The very word salvation presupposes that man is lost, that he is hopeless, that he is helpless, and because he cannot save himself, and because no created being can save him, and because no evil angel is interested in saving him, salvation is of the Lord. The key text with which we open this lesson and this quarter's lessons is the man is not justified by works, but by faith. I will emphasize this thought many times as we go through these lessons this quarter. Someone who shall remain nameless added the word sola very unfortunately. And those who have not done careful thinking have followed in his footsteps and have perverted the truth. Nowhere in the scriptures are we told that a man is justified by faith only. In fact, we shall see James warn us that we are not saved by faith only. Neither are we saved by works only, nor are we saved by grace only, nor are we saved by Scripture only. So to talk about sola fide, sola erga, sola scriptura, sola gratia is, of the very nature of the case, a perversion of the true. Part number one, in search of mankind. God, Christ, the Spirit, initiated the plan of salvation. They went in search of mankind. It was the shepherd that looked for the sheep. Sin separates from God. God is life. Separation from God is separation from life. The end result is death. The wages of sin is death. Man, after he sinned, walked to his doom. However long it took, the end was death. In the initial story of God's first investigative judgment before he passed sentence, God came down and asked questions. Where are you? He knew exactly where he was. He had come to him. Who told you you were naked? He knew that too. What hast thou done? He was perfectly aware of that. Didst thou? And so on. These questions of interrogation, of investigation, of inquisition, were not because God needed to know, but because the universe needed to focus on the answers to those questions. Jesus, made for a little while lower than the angels, came seeking and saving that which was lost. Part number 2, New Life in Christ Only. As man is born again, or born from above, he can begin a new life. This life, originated in God, was given to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve lost it. Through the plan of redemption, God is ready to give it to him. This week we will be considering the relationship of Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was the chief. He understood. Men looked to him with respect. He gave them advice. They followed. As Jesus continued the conversation with Nicodemus, he addressed Nicodemus as the teacher of Israel. Now, if you look in the King James Version, it's a teacher. But if you care to check with the Greek, it's the teacher. Nicodemus was evidently the most outstanding biblical teacher in Israel at this time. He was the teacher. Nicodemus had said to Jesus, "You're a teacher from God." Nicodemus says, "You are the teacher from Israel." And in this conversation, we see a meeting of wits. Nicodemus is beginning to gain insights, but he is too proud yet to yield. He had hoped for a theological discussion. When Christ emphasized the practice of a new birth, he was a little upset. And he tried the tactic of the upset ridicule. How can a man enter his mother's womb twice? Jesus didn't debate. He used the word accept, an ultimatum. You don't do this, you'll never make it. And what you need to do comes in two steps. Except you're born from above or again, you will never see. And except you're born of the water and the Spirit, you will never enter. Look at verses 3 and 5 of John 3 very carefully. Part number 3. Loved but lost. In this section of this lesson, we will concentrate on the rich young ruler. Money, prestige, a different kind of a ruler from Nicodemus. Young, fast-moving, running instead of walking, eager to do everything he could, comes to Jesus and asks a simple question. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? His prelude was, "Good Master." Now Jesus ignored the second part of his question and looked at "Good Master" and said, "Why do you call me good? There's only one being good." And then he must have paused and allowed the implication of his statement and question to sink in. If this rich young ruler persisted in calling the Nazarene good, with the light that he now had, he was insisting that the Nazarene was also God. And if he insisted that Nazarene was God, then the answer to the second question, what good thing shall I do, was the answer from God. And having allowed this idea to sink into his mind, Jesus went on to say after a moment or two, sell what you've got and give to the poor. That is a statement from God. If the rich young ruler continues to believe that he is good. And as Jesus talked with him and saw the eagerness of his heart and the energy of his soul and the faithfulness of his spirit and the diligence of his effort and the sincerity of his mind and the activities in good deeds with which his life was filled, he loved him. He was a sinner. Although he had all these advantages, he had one foot in the grave of the eternal death. And then Jesus touched that area in his life that was dooming him, his selfishness. With all his good deeds, he was yet selfish. With all his generosity, he was yet niggardly. Go, sell, give. And he obeyed the first part. He went. But he went away sorrowful, not obedient. Now, years later, Nicodemus gave his heart to the Lord. There is no record in the scriptures that the rich young ruler ever did. Part number 4, upright but confessing sin. This section deals with Daniel. In the scriptures, he is one of the few men against whom there is no record of sin. He lived in a time of crisis. He bore tremendous responsibilities. He was a prophet beloved. He was given revelations of Jesus Christ's coming and of the end of the world with a clarity that has never been equaled. And while he failed to understand all the details, he prayed for light, identifying himself with his sinful people, acknowledging sin as his, and yet his prayer is intercessory, identifying yet free from the guilt, the pardon from which he prayed with great zeal and sincerity. Part number 5, accepted as we accept. This section deals with a part of Christ's parable of those who were invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The original invitees made excuse and rejected. The servants were sent out to invite others. But yet there was room. And then those servants were sent into the highways and byways to gather together as many as they found. Christ Object Lessons explains the byways as the isolated areas of the world where the uneducated and the simple dwell. And the highways mark the marts of travel and learning and education and culture and wealth. The invitation goes to both, and it's only as one accepts the invitation that one is accepted by God. And those who fail to accept, who fail to follow the leading of the Spirit, by their refusal to accept the divine program, destroy themselves. Part number 6 is the focus of the week, a summary of all that we have studied. Man is lost by his own choice. God has made the plan of salvation by his own choice. And because he loves, he goes to seek the lost. He found them in Eden, making excuse and arguing, but loving and forgiving. He found them in Israel, Daniel, in his own day, Nicodemus, the young ruler. He finds them in every age, in highways, in hedges, in byways, in palaces, in hovels, wealthy, poor, wise, ignorant. And to each by his Spirit he opens the plan of salvation. They see where they should go. And the Spirit doesn't leave them there. The Spirit instructs them through his human agents. And those who will be saved, born again, must be baptized of water and the Spirit. Salvation is indeed of the Lord, accepted by anyone who will.